Blog Talk Radio.
Jeez, ain't it working out these days? God damn it. Oh, sorry. Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to another crazy edition of the Absolute Truth Show right here on Blog Talk Radio. I am your host, one of the most, the king of king himself, the man that will be shoveling snow for the next 8 hours outside. God help us all. I am the hot rod. And on the phone line, I have the one, the only, the man to go help me shovel some snow tomorrow at the front yard. Yes.
Speak for yourself. I got two houses of shoveling snow myself. It is Sean Black in the building once again. And are we both going to be graced with our co-host this week?
Oh, hold on. Somebody's calling me right now. Let me see who it is. It could be the garbage man.
Oh, boy.
We have the lovely and talented Anita B in the house.
You have mental problems, just so you know that.
Yes.
Hello, gentlemen. How are you?
Doing fine, at least for now, until we get hit with all that snow and blizzard and everything else. In the New York tri-state area, we're used to this kind of thing. We get a blizzard in the city probably once every 5 years. So we're used to this kind of thing.
Yeah. Listen, as long as you stock up on your booze and your snacks, you're good.
Yes.
Exactly.
But, before we continue, don't forget the number to call is 347-989-8402. The number once again is 347-989-8402. I'd like to apologize. I know the show is supposed to start at 10:30, but like we discussed a minute ago, with all the snow thing going on, our jobs got crazy, so I got home very late, and, you know, I got to put my little rug rats to bed, and they're finally sleeping right now, so... Let's piss some people off. Are you guys ready?
Oh, of course. Oh, but before we do that, the one thing I do have to bring up is that this week is the anniversary of our first show. This week is
really?
Yes, it is. We started doing this show in March of 2015, and this week is the week of our first show. So congratulations to all of us.
Yay!
Wow. Oh, yeah.
Wow, okay. Thank you for throwing me underneath the bus and not telling me first, like, oh, sugar, it's my show, I don't remember.
Well, you being the fine proprietor of our show, I figured to bring it up and let everybody know. So,
wow, it was like I forgot our own anniversary, like the true husband I am, huh?
Well, oh, boy.
Anita B, before we go to our topic, why is it when the snowstorm is coming, the media always have to say, go to the store and buy bread and milk?
I have no idea. I buy vodka.
That explains
a lot.
That's
me.
No, I know it sounds like a stupid question, but I'm serious. Like, every time we have a storm coming, no matter what the storm, people go crazy. Like, I'm trying to go to the market to buy something for me, something simple. It is packed. Like, wait a minute. Yesterday was Sunday and Saturday. No one did not go to the supermarket during the weekend?
And they knew the snow was coming.
Yeah. So, I'm like, so the media tell you go buy bread and milk, and you go buy bread and milk, like you don't have that in your fridge the first place?
Exactly. But luckily, we did all of our shopping over the weekend. We did our shopping Saturday. So we stocked up. But I actually went to the local market near me. That's about a couple blocks from the house, just to get a couple of snacks here and there. And there were literally three lines of 15 to 20 people apiece. And it's didn't you guys shop beforehand? I mean,
I don't get it. I mean, well, Sean, like you say, you get to get something simple, or need you want to get a bottle of vodka. Okay, simple things, you know. But you buy two shopping carts, like you really starving to death? Like really, guys? You stay home for what? Like for one day?
Yeah. When people hear blizzard, they think of the apocalypse. So everything happens. And then they go to the store and they buy 15 pints of ice cream, like you said, bread and cheese and milk, lots of chicken, lots of beer, et cetera, et cetera. So,
whoa, you can never go wrong with a lot of food, because that could go out right away.
I understand.
Exactly.
Okay. Okay, now we got that out of the way. Hold on. I need to check out my microwave because I think there's a camera inside my microwave right now spying on me.
Oh, you sure there's no? You sure there isn't a microphone inside of your lights?
It could be because rumors have it that I have been spying on Donald Trump with my microwave.
Oh, boy.
I don't know how. Well, I'm just saying that, you know. But go ahead, Sean. Go ahead, Sean.
It seems like just when you think that a lot of the craziness that's been going on over the last 2 months couldn't get any crazier, then we have Kellyanne Conway, who's the advisor to Donald Trump, who basically has the ear to Donald Trump, is almost the spokesperson for Donald Trump, speaks from him to the media about whatever it is as an advisor. Did an interview, I believe it was with the BBC, I think it was, and was talking about how, I guess in lieu of the accusations that President Trump, see, I was able to say it again. I can't believe I'm saying it so often. But bringing that up, was able to talk more about the wiretapping accusation that we first brought up last week. And in references to that, it was like, well, you know, the televisions and microwaves and your smartphones are all spying on you and et cetera, is what she basically said to the media, to the press, and said it in a serious manner along the lines of, yeah, you know, it's like the book 1984 by Charles Orwell, you know, Big Brother is watching, so be careful. Now, this is coming from somebody who works underneath the President of the United States to make a statement like that. And then because of all of the nonsense, basically what happens is somebody grabs a handful of garbage, throws it at the wall, and it sticks, and hopes nobody sees it. And then when people notice the stench from the garbage, then they want to go ahead and scrape it off and say, well, that's not what I meant. That's not what I said. So this is what we have, a continuation of the bumpkins and goofy people that are in charge of running the country continue to stick their foot deeply into their own mouths.
So what's the problem?
I think you know the answer to that one. And the problem is, as we've stated so many times before, these kind of innocuous and silly conversations and comments that come up are more and more of a distraction to keep people away from all of the other stuff that is seemingly going on in the Trump regime and going on right now in government, as far as the health care bill that the GOP is trying to pass through, and some of the other things that are trying to go with
Trump care.
Exactly, and there's so many layers of ridiculousness that seems to be going on in the media that are being used as kind of like a force field to kind of block people away from the real nonsense that's going on. And I think that's what has been going on. And the administration continues to make themselves look like complete idiots that don't know what they're doing. They're getting parodied on television on a regular basis. They're the butt of everyone's jokes over and over and over again. They don't seem to ever get old because they continue to give comedians and late night talk shows more and more fodder. So they have their own keep their own foot in their own mouths and continue to move this forward because they're seemingly their own worst enemy.
And Lisa, I knew Sean would go off because he just loved this. He just loved Donald Trump and the administration. He just loved all of this.
Good Lord.
No, let's be honest.
I would love for us to do a show where all we talked about was trees and rabbits. But that's never going to happen.
And unicorns.
Exactly. It'll never happen.
And yes, I want $1 million and a new liver. That's not going to happen, okay?
Exactly.
So let's carry on.
We can discuss the brand new Manola Blahniks that I want to buy that are coming out this spring that I'm very excited about.
Okay, we'll just look at those two listeners we just have right now. Now we've got zero listeners.
That one listener that we got in Poland has decided, you know what, I'm going to sleep.
Okay, well, on to a serious topic now. Well, because of Donald Trump and his beautiful speeches that he made during his campaign, it seems that lately, I'm like, there always has been hate in this country. But apparently, we had talked about it for basically 2 years, as Sean stated, with our show, with racism and all this other nonsense. But it seemed like there have been a lot of attacks on hate, especially on Jews. So there has been a rise in hate lately. Has there been a rise in hate? Or this is just another recycling thing that we're going through right now, talking about it in the media and social media?
Well, I think it's been, for the most part, there has been a rise in hate crimes. I think it also, it depends on your perspective. Has it gone up compared to what time or to when, as opposed to what we think is the norm now? The reason why we're getting more attention to it today is because of the enhanced sensitivity to the rhetoric that has happened from the campaign that Donald Trump ran to today. And we had, over the last couple of weeks, we've had a rash of Jewish hate crimes and a heightened attention to that. One person was an African-American who was sending certain hate speech to synagogues and leaving letters to Jewish centers in the name of his ex-girlfriend, who apparently broke up with him, and he decided to get even with her by using her name and sending a lot of hate speech and saying, "Oh, I'm going to blow up the synagogue," and making
threats.
But
that's not a hate crime. That is stupidity, Anisha would say. Because he was being jealous, upset. So I won't call that a hate crime. It's a reference as a hate crime.
Yes.
I don't consider that as a hate crime.
Well, of course. But it's brought the hate crime ideology to light now. And I think it's brought up the idea for what I've actually had discussions with friends of mine over the last couple of weeks of what constitutes a hate crime. What would we consider a hate crime? And I think any time, at least my definition would be, any time that you do something that causes harm to somebody, that can be considered a hate crime. And it doesn't have to necessarily be racial or, you know, anything like that. But the official definition of a hate crime, which is also looked at as a bias-motivated crime, is a prejudice-motivated crime which occurs when a perpetrator targets a victim because of his or her membership or perceived membership in a certain social group, which is not exclusive but not also limited to ethnicity, disability, sex, language, nationality, physical appearance, religion, gender identity, sexual orientation, etc. It is more or less the difference between what would be considered a bias incident and a hate crime. A hate crime usually has some sort of violence attached to it, whereas a bias incident is usually non-criminal. That's kind of the definition of what is looked at.
So basically, if I come up to you and call you and Nietzsche a bunch of faggots, that's considered as a bias crime.
That would be considered bias. But if you were to actually go up to somebody and punch someone in the face and spray paint on their back the word, that would be considered a hate crime.
Okay. The reason why I brought this up, because Anitra, I thought about your colleague. You know who I'm talking about.
Mm-hmm.
I don't want to say his name. And I thought about him, like, what was his thoughts? Well, some Jewish people say this is nothing new. They've gone through this many times ever since the Holocaust, which, honest, which is true. What do you think he would say right now about or the rise of hate crime and Donald Trump?
I honestly don't know. I know he's very conservative, very religious, but he's also has a very down to earth liberal sense of things. Like,
yes,
it depends on the situation.
Mm-hmm.
Because, like, for example, him and a childhood friend of his went to a restaurant in Brooklyn. It's a kosher restaurant. They're both Jewish. Yarmulkes, whole nine yards. They wanted a free meal, so they pretended they were a gay couple celebrating their anniversary. They
okay.
were embraced. There were pictures taken. It was great. They got a free meal.
Okay.
The restaurant shook their hands, gave him a cake.
So, wait a minute. He's Jewish and he's gay.
Well,
wow.
He was for the meal. He's not,
yeah,
but he was for the meal.
I know that, but isn't that like an oxymoron? Like, you know, Jewish people cannot be gay to a certain degree?
Actually, no. He was explaining to me that there are certain. Well, he's not Hasidic. It's very different from being Hasidic and not. He's conservative. He's not Hasidic. It's two different things.
Yeah.
They are more open-minded to it than Hasidics are not. But the level where he is, his I guess you could say congregation. I don't know if that's the appropriate word.
Yeah, synagogue.
I guess.
Or...
synagogue. Well, where he is, his community. They're more open to it.
Okay,
and
but
I noticed a lot of religions are open, are embracing it, which is kind of nice to say.
True, but like I was telling Sean the other day, okay, part of the hate crime, you know, you got people knocking down the tombstones at Jewish centers, or they're getting bomb threats
mm-hmm.
at Jewish centers now. Why cemeteries? Why does Jewish people have their own cemeteries? Are they any different from anybody else? Are they any special from anyone else? Like, once you
Catholics
die,
Catholics
have
their own cemeteries.
Yeah, but Catholics. What about Muslims? I'm like, if I open up my own black-owned cemetery, would I be wrong for that?
I'm sure they exist. There are Catholic. Cemeteries, there are Jewish cemeteries, there's Muslim, like there, each religion they do have. I'm sure there's a black owned cemetery. I guarantee you find it somewhere.
Yeah.
I wouldn't be surprised.
Because Milton X would be like, you know, why do Jewish people have their own, why do Jewish people, some of the reason, basically what I'm aiming at is, some of the reasons why we have a rise of hate crime, even though black people get hate all the time, I know Milton X will say that, but Jewish people have their own holidays in New York City when schools are off or parking are suspended, and now they're
so does everybody else.
Like that.
But I don't understand that. So does every other religion on this planet. That's why I really don't get why people point out Judaism when Catholics and Baptist Christianity, and there's not one religion in this country that does not have a holiday where school is closed.
And if
you
own a car and you need to park your car, then you definitely have issues with holidays, and it doesn't even have to deal with Jewish holidays as well.
Oh, hell
there
yeah.
There are a lot of Christian holidays as well, Catholic holidays.
Mm-hmm,
that
there's
all
a lot of everything.
Exactly, and they all correspond to different religious holidays
mm-hmm.
and religious days that they're looked at. That
yeah, but
Now, but it was not like that for a very long time. And still, the Jewish holiday is still number one. I'm like, yes, you could take off on Muslim, but still not consider. It's not as big or huge as a Jewish holiday. Like, you
well,
got people
who
are not Jewish.
Are very, yeah, but Darwin, the holidays are very different. Like, for instance, Muslims have Ramadan. Ramadan lasts 40 days. Would you let your child stay home for 40 days?
but they still go to school. They still don't take off.
Because they go to school only on the high part of the they're off on the high part of the holiday. Same thing with, like, Christmas Day is the high part of the holiday, which is why we have the schools are closed. It's the high part of every holiday that the schools are closed. Every religion, everything is respected under the education system. There isn't not one that isn't.
Yeah.
People just like to point out and fixate on little things, not realizing that there's not one more than the other.
Okay, Ninja, so why, when Jewish people get hate crime, the media jumping all over, oh, we need to get the politician, but guess what? Black people get hate all the time. Muslims get hate all the time. I mean, yes, we have protests, but not.
Who knows? I mean, I don't know. I'm sensitive to all of it. If I just don't think it's right across the entire board, but certain people are more sensitive to certain cultures than others. That's just a fact. That's a personal preference, opinion, all of the above.
I was about to say, it could also be perception, too. It all depends on your perception as far as, you know how you can see, like, if you're walking around in the street and you don't notice a particular car until you see one, and then when you see that car, you seem to see it all the time, even though you weren't thinking about it up until the first time you saw it. Now you see it everywhere. It's more of a perception, I think. You know, it's not as if it's been going on all the time, then you're just noticing it. And that's probably.
All right, hold on. We have a new caller, 202-549. You're on the air. What is your name? Hello?
Sorry about that, man. My name is Eric. I had my phone on mute. I wasn't expecting for you to come to me so soon.
Oh,
but,
okay.
I was just. Yeah, my name is Eric. I was just listening and trying to get caught up on what you guys are talking about. This is my first time on your show. So
welcome.
Let me just mute my – oh, thank you. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Okay.
Where are you calling from, actually?
Washington, D.C.
Oh, okay. Thank you for the call.
So, Eric, so when you're ready to jump in, go free, and I'll let you come in.
Okay, I need to press one. I'm going to just mute my phone, but do I need to press one to get back on?
Yeah, just unmute it and just jump right in. Like, Eric, I'm in the house. Eric is in the house.
Okay, will do. Thank you, bro. All
right, thank you. So, Anisha and Sean, I understand what you guys are talking about, but this is how, you know, the hate crime, the hate against the Jews rises because of perception. Because, wait a minute, why they getting all the love? Why they getting all the support? Why black men are being killed by white cops nonstop, for say. Like, you hear that more than anything.
Oh, of course. And, yeah, go ahead, Anitra.
No, go ahead.
What I think happens is that a lot of times, depending on the source of the media, where you're getting the news from, I think, not to say that each news outlet seems to have their own agenda as far as what they want to portray or what they feel is important to disseminate to the masses. I think as you're looking at what an actual hate crime is, when we're talking about somebody desecrating a synagogue or burning down a black church or doing something along those lines or going into the gay community and beating someone up and calling them whatever pejorative names you can find out, and insult them, and spitting in their face. All of those things would constitute a hate crime, something that is one, based in the actual hate, the actual, the just looking at the ethnicity of somebody or their sex or if they're disabled, something along those lines, religious base. And you can look at that. That would be considered a hate crime.
So, okay, I like that concept. K-Dog, I see you. Give me 1 minute. Let's go back to the transgenders and the gays and lesbians. Years have been through hate crimes. Just recently, you heard on the news, some guy beat up two gay guys up in a fried chicken place up in Brooklyn. And he got he received anti-gay slurs. Of course, the community backed it up and everything. Why about us? Why about the black people? Why about the Spanish people? You know, yes, about perception, but we're still not getting the same support as other communities, as the Jewish or the gays and lesbians? Why is there always a black people at the bottom? Milton X, I know you're listening. You better call in. You know, I know
you.
I know he's
calling
itching.
Last week. Go figure.
I know Milton X is itching right now, but K Dog, I give this to you, K Dog.
Hey, what's up, everybody? On this free blizzard show evening. Well, I just got to say this about these hate crimes that's been happening, and you know, since the beginning of this nation, so called. There has been many hate crimes against people of color, and some of them are not being reported by the media, but it's been happening. Like, let's just say, for example, like you go back in history, the days of lynchings, countless lynchings went on, especially in states like in the South. And now we're looking at a new set of hate. We're looking at more hate crimes that has been happening ever since the inauguration of Donald Trump. There's been a terrific growth of it. I mean, they said like this, that there's been hate crimes that had jumped from 34% in 2015 to 101% right after the election.
Exactly.
There's also been hate crimes against, and also, let's not forget, not just that black people are being have been victims of hate crimes, but guess what? There's been a growth of attacks on Muslims in this country. Like, I could tell you one thing that I read a report about. There was an arson that destroyed a mosque in Victoria, Texas. Hours right after Trump announced that executive order suspending travel from some Muslim countries, it happened right there in Texas, right there in our own backyard. So you see, ever since Trump's been in office, we've seen a huge spike in these hate crimes happening.
Yes. And that's one of those things that a lot of people don't realize is that it's not necessary. We're not saying that Trump is the cause for all hate crimes, because hate crimes have been there. It's that we have a heightened sensitivity to it now that we're actually being able to see it. And it's just throughout the population, we seem to have between Muslims and blacks and Hispanics and Asians and whites, and we're seeing a lot of crimes happen based on population, area of where the crimes are centered, and we're also starting to see an uptick in certain hate crimes based on that particular gender or that particular demographic.
Because, you know, I'm not going to say that Trump is, you know, ever since Trump got in, because it's been happening before Trump. But now what I'm saying is that it's increased more, because look at the rhetoric that he ran throughout his campaign on. And plus, the people that he's influenced, and I'm going to say like the new white nationalist movement, has been revived.
Hello, can you hear me?
It hasn't been revived. It's always been there.
No,
yes.
But it's given new life now.
No, it's not being
lost.
It's
saying.
Always been there. There's
no
new life to it.
But I'm just saying, yeah, hold on.
I'm sorry, I just realized my mic was mute for a while, so you couldn't hear me.
Oh, man.
But I agree with what Anitra said, but Anitra, why do you think that most or some white men have so much hate in general?
Some black men do.
Way, and not as much compared to white men. White men seem like they hate the Jews, the Muslims, the blacks, the Mexicans.
Ignorance. Same why there's hate across the board.
And also,
it's ignorance.
And you know what else, too, that's been going on? There's been a rise in hate groups. A huge percent of it. Like they said, it's risen by 917%. In this country alone.
You know what I don't understand? And maybe the three of you can answer this. I don't have an answer. I wouldn't. I'm Caucasian. I don't have an answer. I wouldn't.
No comment.
Shut up.
Oh,
no, but seriously.
Man.
For decades, decades, okay? People
right.
bitch and complain about racism and inequality and this and that and everything, which are valid arguments. I'm not saying they're not. But, and then they talk about how we have to unite our people and keep it disowned and just this. If proved throughout generations, up until the present time, the segregating does not work at all. Not in the least. It doesn't work. It's been proven time and time again. Why not try something different?
Okay, let me take
Why
this
not
one
try
first,
to unite or to try to re-educate people or to try and just change perception? Why not try something different instead of going back to the same old bullshit that clearly does not work?
Because
Please.
we are in a recycling life. Like you said, keyword education. You know, people now do not want to be educated the right, proper way. War, racism, hate, people love. This world is evil. When we tell each other go to hell, what do we say? We here already, you know. So for generations and generations, and for, sadly to say for our children, they will go through the same thing as what we're going through right now. How long Martin Luther King, Malcolm X, and all these civil rights leaders from the slavery days even have fought for us, fought for each other, and look at us now. Still, even 2 years for our show, we still talk about racism, hate, all that stuff. And now we have Donald Trump to add to it to make it a recycling business again. And guess what? Next week again, guys, we're going to talk about Trump, racism, cop killing, everything, and Sean not getting a haircut. Those things are a recycling business.
No, but it's just mind-boggling to me on how people just don't see the obvious, which to me makes no sense.
Well, this is the thing that's going on with segregation. Like, segregation has been here for the longest. It's always been there. It's not going anywhere, believe it or not.
Yeah, but why do people think that's the answer? That's what
The answer is this. Like, okay, in the black community, we look at it like, you know, why should we have to beg the white man to do things for us when we should be doing for ourselves?
But is it that segregation?
Yeah, but you don't anymore.
There are tons of people, tons of black Americans that have graduated from Harvard, Princeton, Penn State, UCLA.
And I could understand
There's
that.
No begging anymore. So what's the point
of
it?
But you know what else, too, that I will point out? Being a black man, I'll point out that I'll be real. I don't care if anybody agrees with me or not. There is a great deal of, and I'm sure Rodney and Sean, you guys will agree with me on this. There is a great deal of segregation within the black community. Am I wrong for saying it?
Yeah, you're right. Sean. But there's also something else that is a little more underneath that, is the perceived notion that African Americans,
right.
whether they have been in their own communities, like we said before, Harlem,
yeah.
Certain parts of, you know, Bedford-Stuyvesant in Brooklyn, which is one for a long time, is the biggest section of African Americans in the entire country.
Yeah.
Bigger than Harlem, bigger than Watts, bigger than a lot of other places in the country, is this perception that African Americans who did not gain a lot in life lived in a neighborhood where they saw their own. African Americans who are either of the same poverty level or of the same earning per capita.
Yeah.
And they own homes, they own houses, they own cars, they have decent jobs. And then there's this perception that we have to protect what little we have, because once we lose this, then other people from the outside are coming in and completely changing it. And that's where you go into that fear of gentrification, where a lot of people think that somebody's coming in, whether it's this Italian
and
person.
And take away what we own.
Exactly. This Italian person coming in from wherever, or the Asian person coming in from wherever.
But what about the perception of, okay, you're right on that part. I'm going to Washington, D.C., South L.A., Atlanta. the same black community that was supposed to take care of each other, you still have the other half that's destroying the community. And I'm not talking about drugs. We don't. How many times we go to a black area and we see something bad, like what we shake our head and we say black people. Then the perception, we go to the white neighborhood, we're like, oh my God, look at the white people. They take care of their home. They take care of each other. And look at us. Well, you know, everybody likes to focus on the negative of us.
Right.
The typical stereotype. And, you know, we hear one stereotype, we hear them all. And like Anisha always said, you just have to work your butt off. But some black people, some black communities don't want that. They want what K-Dog said. They want to help from the white man. Let's beg our master for this and that.
And
we all want
and we shouldn't be doing that in 2017. We should not be doing that at all. And this is what it is. You have, you know, like I said, we in the black community, we are segregated ourselves because you look at some of us who are educated and some of us who are not educated. When we see some of us who look at the educated black men, and I'm sure, you know, you guys could understand what I'm saying. When we see someone who, one of us who's educated and moving up, we try everything to bring that person down. Like, oh, you're giving away, you're giving yourself away to the white man. You know, they put this perception that, oh, because you're educated, you're white. And, you know, oh, you're not keeping it real. You're losing your blackness. And at the same token, you have those in the black community who are educated who look down on them, who look down on others, if you understand what I'm saying.
In other words, okay, you guys don't want to live that. God forbid, Sean, I wear a suit. You know what that means. If I wear a suit in this area where I'm at right now.
I think you're a drug dealer.
I'm a drug
dealer? No, they think you have money.
His neighborhood, he's either a cop or a drug dealer.
Or both.
Which is very sad.
I have a decent job that I'm making money, which you guys know I'm making crap. I'm making okay, but I'm not making that much to wear suits every day. But I'm afraid to wear suits because that's my perception. Even from back in my other neighborhood, I cannot wear a suit because you got those low lives who want to do nothing with their lives. But go on social media and buy Jordans all day and selling drugs, they look at you and God forbid a brother or a sister trying to better himself to get out of the neighborhood. So we're trying to do yourself
saying.
To get out of the trying to make yourself to do better to get out of the neighborhood, you consider that as a sellout.
Yeah. Or if you try to talk and say, hey, listen, look, everybody, we got to pull together. We got to do the best we can to fix up ourselves, to fix up our neighborhood, and do what's best for our community. But unfortunately, you have those of us who sit there and say, oh, what are you, a sellout? Or you a communist?
Okay. So, Sean Black, Milton X will be saying, you know, we need to support each other, blah, blah, blah. The Chinese people do it. The Jewish people do it. Muslims. Why not us? Why not us?
I think the reasoning behind it is that is it different from other cultures as far as from what I've seen anyway. African Americans, when it there's a select few that when they make it, they want to share how they made it.
Exactly.
But the majority of the African Americans that I have seen that gain the knowledge and the power to get out of where they've gotten the struggle that they've gone through, they've made a great living. They've made the money. They've made their businesses work. Instead of sharing that and letting others tap into that knowledge, they keep it to themselves and either keep it to within their families or they keep it to themselves so that, well, nobody else is going to make more money than me. Oh, nobody is going to learn how I did such and such and such. And that's either that's the perception that everybody thinks or the reality is that they just they are afraid to let other people find out how they were able to make their riches, how they were able to become successful. And I think that's the perceived difference from the outside looking in compared to other races, religions, where somebody will make money. In the Jewish community, if they know something or a way of being able to better their community, i.e. education, they've learned through maybe through their synagogues, people to network with, people to talk to business-wise. They will share that within the community so that the entire community will be a
benefit
and will help and benefit from it. You'll see
can
that
I interject
in,
real quick? When...
Sure, go right on that.
Okay, I didn't mean to cut you off. I mean, finish your point if you will. I just wanted to let you know I wanted to get in real quick.
No, go ahead.
Hey,
sure, go right on ahead. Go right on ahead.
Everybody is making awesome points. But the one thing that I'm not hearing is that we were under 350, 400 years of chattel slavery where we were taught self-hate. No other group. It's like when a lot of people try to, you know, compare us to what Jews do or what Hispanics do, they weren't taught to hate themselves based on skin color. Now, in my family, I have people that go from the darkest of black to almost people who are so light-skinned that they could pass. Brothers, sisters, and cousins angry with each other because the lighter skinned ones were treated better. The darker skinned ones were treated like trash. I mean, nobody shares our history. We were taught self-hate. And that's true. I mean,
you're absolutely right.
Hold on. Who taught us self-hate? Ourselves?
The slave
or the
master.
Schools or everything? You can't say
the system of whites, the system of racism, white supremacy taught us self-hate.
It did.
Both ifs and the buts. And it still doesn't. I was listening to someone, they were talking about it's a study where they were giving black children a choice between playing with a white doll baby and
yes,
a black
I
doll
know.
Baby.
Yeah.
Yeah. And they generally,
I've heard
for the
about
most
that.
Part, yeah, they chose the white doll baby. We were taught to hate ourselves.
Because
right.
the black doll was too ugly to play with.
Right, the black doll. Oh, excuse me, guys, for interrupting, man. What's your name, brother, man? I wanted to...
Eric.
Eric, hey, what's up, Eric, man? Eric?
No,
Eric,
E-R-I-S, Eric with an E.
Yeah, Eric, man. I hear you, bro. Listen, you know, when it comes to self-hatred, and you could even look back in history, like you talked about the dolls, but also, let us remember the complexions of the difference of our skin tones. I was watching something not too long ago about the dark skin and the light skin.
Mm-hmm.
Like the lighter skin are treated more like, you know, are things of beauty. And meanwhile, the darkest ones are considered ugly.
Yeah.
If you understand what I'm saying. You look at that in the society. Like, take for instance, back in the days, long time ago, if you look at the world of black entertainment, what were black men doing to their hair?
Oh, conking, yeah. Was it called conking it?
Yeah,
it was called conking, which was
yeah,
a chemical that they
conking.
Used to straighten
yeah.
their hair out. Straighten their
straighten
hair.
Straighten their hair, you know, wearing that pompadour look, wearing that slick back look, you know, and
right.
that was something like, wow, man, you know, my grandfather from Haiti, he used to go to the movies a lot back in the days in Haiti, and he used to say like this, now, why the hell would you do that to your hair? You know, God gave you good hair. Why would you want to do that for? You know? And it was something. And, you know, like Malcolm X called it self-degradation, like you're degrading yourself, because he said he conked his hair, but he got enough sense to get rid of it. But, however,
right.
it's like to teach you to, oh, wow, your hair is nappy. Your skin is dark, so you know what, bleach it. You know,
and yes,
even now in 2017, you still see that pattern being sold because you look at, like, television, you look at music videos, and you see, you know, lighter skins are beautiful and dark skin, oh, please, that's ugly. And, you know, now you see a lot of black women wearing their hair natural, but it's like one time somebody said that, oh, it's due to low self-esteem. I'm like, really?
Yeah, but okay,
mm-hmm.
okay, you know, that concept, and to Eric, for example, Nicki Minaj was a dark-skinned person.
Right.
Apparently, she bleached her skin to look lovely to go with the trend. Nicki Minaj did her thing to make money, right? Do you consider
right.
that as a sellout? Do you consider that as a betrayal to the black race, Eric?
I consider it more of a betrayal to herself, but
self-hatred.
I guess, I mean... Huh? Yeah, self-hatred, yes. Yes. And I mean, I guess I believe in we are all, including white people, We are all victims of a system that's controlled by white males. That's why it's called white supremacy. No matter where you go on this planet, the lighter skinned to the white people are always on top, and the darker you get into your lower economics of people. And I remember, this is going to sound kind of funny, but I had an argument with a former girlfriend of mine, and I was like,
was she white?
Did you notice how? No,
okay.
Never did it outside my race. But
okay.
I said to her, have you ever noticed if people were cast in the movie, it's rare that you're going to cast a light-skinned person as a villain. You're going to get somebody like Wesley Snipes because, again, we're taught that darker-skinned people look more intimidating. Lighter-skinned,
yeah.
In our own neighborhoods, we think light-skinned dudes, oh, you look like Christopher Williams in the movie
New Jack City. Yes.
Yeah, he called him a pretty MF-er, a pretty mofo. And it's like, you know, we don't understand those little, that subtlety, but when it's repeated in your head 24 hours a day through commercials, through media, the movie Coming to America, the lighter-skinned sister was the one who got Eddie Murphy and won in the end, and the darker-skinned sister was the one just going around screwing whatever.
Exactly.
We do it to our... seriously.
Right. No, you're
right.
You're right. You're right.
But you know, we're taught self hate. The same woman I was arguing with, I was like, "You go to the ghetto, see how many lighter skinned people you see compared to real dark skinned people in the ghetto." Because guess what? They're going to hire lighter skinned women before they hire darker skinned women because they feel they tend to look more like us. So
and you know what?
Yeah,
I agree with you because for a long time, when I was I'm old. But for a long time, I never cared for dark-skinned women. Why? Because the way I was taught, I was with part of the system. Now, all women are beautiful to me, but I'm more aware now, I'm more knowledge. But back then, I don't want to date a black girl. The lighter was better. Even my brother said, if it's not light, it's not right.
Yeah, you know, I'm going to say this, Hot Rod.
Put that on a T-shirt.
There's something else, too. You know... Okay, and I'm glad, Eric, you mentioned the videos, right? There were these two brothers, there were these two rappers that were talking about the music videos. They said like this, you know why? The lighter skinned women are seen as trophies. That's the trophy girl that you gotta go for. When you see a light skinned girl, it's like, wow, man, you know, okay, a light skinned girl, like you could look at Alicia Keys, you could look at Vanessa Williams. And you're like, man, oh, man, that's beautiful. But yet, the sister that you see that's darker, it's like, ew. And, you know, and Hot Rod, I understand where you're coming from because I was taught that too. Like, you know, some cultures, they teach you, you go for a light-skinned girl, man. The light-skinned girls are beautiful. Don't go for those dark-skinned girls with the short hair. And, you know, as I grew older, I noticed that there were some bomb-biggity-looking dark-skinned sisters. And you know what?
But talk about light skin, we can't forget about Nisha B. She's a light skinned
woman. Yeah,
Nisha B. Oh Lord.
Oh,
I just gave you a
compliment. Come on now, honey, beautiful.
But okay, let's go from a woman's point of view. Anisha, have you ever dated a dark skinned person, male?
Yes.
So the color didn't bother you at all? That it was darker than other people, like dark shaded or anything like that?
No, well, you have to understand, I was raised in a black neighborhood. So to me, I was raised to look at the person. That's how me and my siblings were raised. So
because
and that's how I raised mine.
Yeah, but you say that because the reason why I ask that because you're white, that's the way you was raised compared to us black brothers. I'm assuming Eric is black.
Yes, I am.
Okay. I think that's why we was raised differently compared to you. You was raised
now,
to look at all types of colors. We have another caller, and it is, hold on 1 second. Max, go ahead.
Hey, good evening, guys.
Hey what's
going
up,
on,
bro?
Max?
What's going
Hello.
On, man?
Hello, everybody. You know, I'm not able to listen to the show unless if I call in, so I don't really know what the topic's about.
We talk about basically light-skinned girls versus dark-skinned girls.
Oh, wow. About people with self-hatred when it comes to the color of their skin, the skin tone.
So basically, Max, not to go too much details about your personal life, have you ever dated a dark-skinned woman, and do you prefer a dark-skinned woman or a light-skinned woman?
It doesn't matter. To me, it doesn't matter. I've dated both sides. It doesn't matter to me.
Because back then, you were taught that, you know, dark-skinned female was ugly, was not the one to go after. You always go by the light-skinned woman, or the lighter woman, the better. Light-skinned people get better roles, get better jobs and everything.
Mm-hmm. So you blame that in the media, in the entertainment field. You don't blame that in the real life.
That's what I was saying.
You blame it on the entertainment, except they hire the individual, and they're going to basically not hire the darker skin complexion. So it's not our fault. And we wasn't really taught to side with the lighter skin over the darker skin. It was just that we never really approached the dark skin as much because of basically entertainment field.
So, to Eric, what do you think is your opinion the best solution with our black community to help one another? And is, instead of trying to stab each other in the back and trying to keep each other down, is to rise up together?
Well, what I honestly believe is that we're going to have to understand the game that's being run on us because, again, like you were saying, well, not you, one of you guys were saying earlier how this gets to me that how when some a lot of us, once we get our education, we want to leave. We don't want nothing else to associate with our neighborhoods no more. Instead of sticking around and trying to build our neighborhoods, we want to move.
Yeah.
And we don't want to look back unless we're just coming back to maybe get our hair done or get some ribs that we can't get in our new neighborhoods. You know, we want to come back and get some soul food. That's it. Other than that, we throw that watch out the window and keep it moving.
Yeah, we do, unfortunately.
And, I mean, I've seen too many, you know, sisters and brothers, once they got the money, about the only thing they come back to the hood for is to get a haircut, get their hair done, and get some soul food and maybe visit their parents. But other than that, they're going to basically white people's neighborhoods. And as
well,
they, and I, like I used,
oh, pardon me for interrupting, Eric. Or better yet, you know what? To look down on their own brothers and sisters.
Yes. I agree.
I think that if you're looking at based on how we perceive our own self-worth or how we are looked at within our communities, that's one of the things that happens. You go and you make a certain amount of money, you have a certain class system, then you're going to basically say, well, this is what I plan on doing right now. And I've made my money, I'm going to keep this to myself and make sure that I'm the one that's making the money, and no one else is going to learn the quote-unquote secret. And I think that's what a lot of people go through. And if we're really truthful about that, a lot of that is almost along the lines of that the house Negro mentality that we've heard about in the past, where you have the lightest-skinned African-American who was a slave. He was able to stay at home and stay in the house with the slave master and look over the other slaves. He was a little more comfortable. He was able to stay home. He was able to not toil out of the field, so to speak. But he was still looked at as a slave. He just was treated better than the others. And it's that same mentality that a lot of Americans have.
And I think in other cultures, they're educated, don't mind pulling up their undereducated. But us, when we get educated or start or so-called educated, and we start making our money, I mean, we don't even want to look at our less fortunate anymore. And I mean, I'm sitting here thinking about.
I think we're getting.
Like,
sorry to cut you off. I think we're starting to get.
Oh, no problem. But we do have a big time echo.
Yeah, I think somebody is near either the computer or a speaker or something.
Yeah.
Okay.
Well, unfortunately, this is what it is. Like, I'm glad you mentioned the house Negro mentality, Sean, because even to this day in 2017, you still have it going on. Because
you have those of us, because we're educated, we look down on our own, and that, and we shouldn't be doing that. Instead of looking down at our own, you got your education. Yes, we're very proud of that, but it also would do good if you would try to say, hey, you know what? I want to start up a school. I want to start this something small. But you know what? Because you could start something small, like an after-school program, and it could grow. You understand what I'm saying?
Exactly.
You put that in the community. You give back to the place where you grew up in. You give back with the place where you live. You
and it doesn't have to be big. It can just be something as small as that.
Yeah, because it takes one person to start it all.
Well, guys, I love this conversation, but, you know, it's that time of the night again where I have to get ready to start shoveling snow.
Oh, man.
Eric from Washington, D.C., thank you so much for tuning in and calling in for your input. You got to do this again, maybe next Monday night, and tell us how it is.
Okay, I wrote you down. Y'all start at 11 or 11:30?
Well, we usually start at 10:30, but because of the way the weather is going to be, we did a little half an hour later. But we're usually at 10:30.
Every Monday night.
Okay, well, I have you written down. You're written down in my book. So I will check in next Monday. I wish we had more time, but I understand. We've got to get that snow off the ground.
Oh, yeah. But thank you. We really do appreciate your input and your support.
Thank you.
Thank you for opening the line.
Hey,
thank
brother.
You, guys. And right, ladies, brother. Y'all have a blessed night. Have a blessed
have
night.
Have a good night.
Yeah,
have a good night, brother.
Man, K-Dog, as always, guys, thank you so much. Let's do this again next week. And hopefully we talk something about sex also.
Oh, my goodness. Max is favorite subject. Hey, people.
Oh, boy.
Y'all cool.
I think I can actually see Max's face light up the second that was.
Max is something else, man. Max's favorite subject.
Oh, yeah. All right. Boom, boom. Okay. We got 3 minutes left. Anitra B, are you there?
Anitra.
Oh, I hung up on her by mistake. Oh, well.
Oh, boy.
I'm sorry.
Oh, man.
I had too much people on the line. Oh, well, K-Dog, you take over for Anitra. 30 seconds. What's your final thought?
Final thoughts is this. Hey, we got to keep our eyes open to what's going on in this country. And don't forget to shovel tomorrow. Be safe out there, y'all. Look out for one another. That's what I got to say.
Yeah. Keep an eye on the elderly and the people that you know of. If you're in the East Coast, because of the snow and everything, because it can be treacherous. They're talking about a blizzard and, you know, 2 feet of snow. Hopefully it won't be as bad, but check in on people that can use the help and make sure that you help your fellow neighbors out.
And as always, if you're going to be making some love making tonight, just use protection. Don't become like me and become a father again.
Well, you know, a lot of babies are going to be born next year.
Oh, boy.
And on that note, once again, we did a great show. Thank you, guys. I can't believe this is our 2-year anniversary. The show is still growing.
Yeah.
You know, it's like,
better
when I did that before a show, I did not expect it. I expected it to be good, but I didn't expect it to be this huge. With over 3,000 listeners and people listening around the world, Anitra B, Sean Back, K-Dog, and the rest of you guys, thank you so much.
Yeah.
Hopefully, you know, I'll be able to take this show to the next level, maybe to TV, maybe to more podcasts, who knows.
Yeah,
but
do it.
Despite all my haters for this show, for our show, I know with your guys' support, we will still do this show the best way we can, even though we didn't start at 10:30. Because you two guys, you determined to do this show at 11. And I'm like, you know what? If they want to do it, I should do it too, you know?
Yes.
Even though I do my show from the bathroom because my kids are sleeping.
Also, think about this. We're not that far off from episode number 100.
Yeah,
so
man. You guys are reaching close.
We've done, I think, 94 or 95 shows.
This
94
is,
shows.
Our 95th show. We are 5 shows away from 100.
And we've covered so many different topics over the past 2 years as we move into the third year and we continue to grow. As long as we have a foothold to help other people and give them a different voice, a different opinion, and listen to their opinions, we've done our job. So So we
okay,
thank you
shut
for
up,
the support.
Sean. Time to go. Thanks again, folks, for tuning in to the Absolute Truth Show. I'm the Hot Rod with
Sean Black and
Professor K-Dog.
And as always, ladies and gentlemen, the pleasure was all
Anitra B.
yours.
Okay, guys, come meet me outside and start shoving some snow.
You
okay, right
me.
Now.
Hey, you paying us, man? Pay us some money.
Oh, fine. I give you. I support the black community. Good night.
Good night.
Good night.
Be safe.
Peace.